Good afternoon. You're listening to 88.3 FM. I'm Jeff Dobbs.
And I'm Anne Cobham.
And this is the Bayside Rotary Radio Show.
So did you watch Rory McIlroy win the US Masters and don the green jacket for a second time today or yesterday? Did you, Jeff?
I have saw him done it the first time, yes, and the second time.
Okay, so today we'll be telling you about a major Bayside golf competition that raises funds for Beaumaris Rotary's community and international work.
And we'll also be hearing about some exciting and innovating projects in relation to child malnutrition. This is a new project to use food plants to solve this particular problem. And we'll also give you a roundup of Rotary community events around our part of the Bay. And, of course, we'll have music, specially selected by Anne. What have you chosen for us today, Anne?
Well, today I've decided we'll feature music from artists who have had various milestones on the 21st of April. So take a break, sit back, have a cuppa or a coffee and enjoy the next hour with us.
Very good. And I want to welcome Graham Ludica, OIM, to the studio. Graham is from the BlackRock Sports Auxiliary. Did I get that right, Graham?
That's right, yes.
Very good,
Jeff.
And he is the key linchpin, we might say, of the Beaumaris Charity Golf Day, which is on when and where?
Well, it's coming up quite soon, Jeff. Monday, 19th of May this year, our Super Monday for golf at Royal Melbourne Golf Club.
Terrific.
This is an annual event that's been running for a number of years with Beaumaris Rotary starting in the mid-80s with their Merrill Charity Day and the other partner in the day, the BlackRock Sports Auxiliary, since 1952. And we joined in 2018 to create the Bayside Charity Golf Day.
That's a very long history. Now, we're going to talk in more detail about this event today, but of course I should explain that it has been sold out for this year already, hasn't it?
Yes, this year it's sold out, which usually happens because it's so popular with golfers in Victoria and interstate, for that matter.
And how many tickets have you sold?
Well, we sell this year 228 this year. Normally we sell about 368, but one course is closed because of the irrigation works at Royal Melbourne. So we're down to one course, and that's two shotgun starts with the reduced field.
It'd be a busy day, I would think.
It is a busy day. It starts about 6:30 in the morning and we finish about 6:30 at night.
Wow.
And you're there the whole time?
There the whole time. And we do enjoy a dinner afterwards, which is something to celebrate.
Very good. Now, tell us a bit about the history of this event. You did mention it started, I think, in 1952?
Yes. Well, the BlackRock Sports Auxiliary started in 1952, basically to raise money for the establishment of the Sandringham Hospital. And once it was established, it was for equipment and patient comfort at the hospital. And that was an annual golf day at Royal Melbourne. And then in 2018, we joined together with Beaumaris Rotary, who had been playing their Merrill Golf Day at Royal Melbourne since the mid-80s. And so with Royal Melbourne's consent, we created a Super Monday of golf at Royal Melbourne, usually about the second or third Monday in May. And now we're jointly raising in the region of $120,000 to $130,000 each day.
Wow.
Wow. That's wonderful.
And so if that's been going on since when, 1980,
Beaumaris Rotary since mid-80s.
Yep.
And BlackRock Sports Auxiliary since 1952.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, so, and we've raised, in today's dollars, around about $6.2 million from the day.
Wow.
And the main beneficiary is Sandringham Hospital, which has received about $5 million in today's dollars.
That's a fantastic amount of money, isn't it? So can I just being a little bit of a golfing tragic, can I ask you a little bit about the Royal Melbourne Golf Course? A famous course, undoubtedly, and one many golfers, perhaps myself included, would love to play. Can you tell us a little bit about the course, how difficult it is? Is it the people that you have playing, are they excellent golfers or are they...?
Yes, we have scratch golfers that want to play. And we have social golfers without handicaps.
Okay.
So we have the full spectrum of golfers. We've had overseas people come and play. Yeah. We have regular players from Brisbane, Perth, Tasmania. But mainly they are the local metropolitan Victorian people that come along to play.
Okay. And you said, I think, that you have, is it a shotgun start, did you say?
The two courses that we run, the West course, which has, I think, 12 holes of the composite, the championship course,
right,
has a shotgun start in the morning at 7:30 and one again at 12:30.
Okay. So,
And then on the East course, we have a progressive start from 7:30 until around 12:30.
Okay, so just for those who don't play golf, just the shotgun start, that means you have a whole lot of different people playing off in different holes, don't
yes,
you, all at the same time.
We give them a briefing and then send them out to various holes around the course, and then at a given time, we don't fire a shotgun these days,
no.
But at a given time they start their play. And the idea is that they all finish around about the same time. And we also provide those people with a sit-down lunch at Royal Melbourne in the dining room.
Wow, that would be fantastic. And what competitions do you play in?
It's a Stableford competition on both courses.
Right.
Teams of four and individuals. And we have men and ladies competitions.
Okay.
As well as longest drives and nearest the pins.
Okay. And if I wanted to apply to play, when is it open again for next year? And you'll be holding it next year, I'm guessing?
Yes. Royal Melbourne have indicated they're not going to stop us at any time in the future. We usually start thinking about it as soon as this one is finished. So the end of May, we'll be thinking about 2017. We have a database that we keep, and we send out invitations towards the end of the year, probably around October, November, for people to register. But we have the keen ones that will be contacting us before that to get their name on the list for the next round of golf. It is very competitive to find a place. So,
And can you play, do you have to join with a group or can you play singly?
Prefer groups of four. It makes it easier for us, the volunteers organising the day, although there have been a few singles because on occasion someone will ring up and say, I forgot today is my wife's birthday, so I can't play golf, or it's my wedding anniversary or things like that. So we have been able to slot single players in, but preferably fours.
And how would I register? Would I just send an email to Beau Morris Rotary or?
Well, the easiest way is to get on our database.
Yep.
And then you get an invitation to the day, and then it's a matter of responding to that as quick as possible.
Okay.
It's via a try booking site.
Okay.
And we give them the try booking site to register. If they're interested in special circumstances, sometimes we do get people that, as I say, come from overseas or interstate and they're restricted to times and dates and they want to know what it is and can they register now. And we have put them on the list as a priority.
Okay.
So anything's possible within reason.
And is there a website that you've got for it?
Well, there's the best way to get on our database is to use an email, and this is all lowercase, and it's info, at, and all one word, the Bayside Charity Golf Day.com.
Okay.
That's easy. Or on the Beau Morris Rotary website, there is a link.
Okay.
To the golf day, so that's another way of getting onto the site.
That's how I came across it.
Yeah.
It was the Beau Morris Rotary website.
Yeah, the Beau Morris Rotary website has a link to the golf day.
Okay. That's what I'll do. I will register.
And that's it. Get on the database, and then we'll take it from there.
Now, Graham, this is obviously a competition, so I guess there are prizes and trophies to be won.
Yes, yes, we have prizes, as I said, for teams, first, second, third, individuals, and also longest drives and nearest the pins. Longest drive and nearest the pins, the prizes are supplied by a couple of our sponsors. Brighton Land Rover give you a car to take down to the peninsula to a vineyard for a weekend as a prize in nearest the pin.
Wow.
And we have Keyser, the gym health and fitness people, providing prizes for the straightest drive, I should say now. We don't have a longest drive. It's the straightest drive. It takes out the long hitters then.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
For the straightest drive.
Can you just explain that, Graham? I'm not a golfer. what is the straightest drive, did you say?
Well, the straightest drive, we did have the longest drive, but that always went to the low markers and the big hitters because they could hit the ball a long way.
So it's the longest drive is a long hit to the ball.
Yes, so that's out.
Long distance.
What we now is have a rope down the middle of the fairway, and it's the ball that is closest to that rope, and that rope might extend from 100 metres out to about 150 metres out. Mm. So it gives the long markers a chance, and the ladies a chance too.
To
have the straightest drive.
I've played in competitions where that's been the straightest drive, and it is better because you think, I'm never going to outdrive all these people who are scratch golfers. You're just not able to do that. So
that's
that's a good thing. And sometimes they don't hit straight. Those people who hit big, they don't hit straight.
And they're just on the fairway, some of them.
That's exactly right.
And the trophies and prizes that we have are many of them vouchers for golf equipment because some of the players may be from the country and we have to mail out their prizes.
Yeah.
We have the Merrill Cup that is played for that Beau Morris Rotary initiated when they started. It was called the Bayside Merrill Golf Day then.
Mm-hmm.
And Bayside Council still sponsor the day and provide the trophy for the Bayside Merrill Cup, and also the ladies play for the Leslie Falloon Trophy.
Okay.
Who Leslie was a well-known Sandringham and Bayside councillor for many years.
So, Graham, you've raised huge amounts of money. You said $6 million, I think you said.
In today's dollars, what we've raised, yes.
Yeah. Is that all gone to Sandringham Hospital? No.
As I said, the majority of it goes. We split the money and the Beau Morris Sports Auxiliary share goes directly to the hospital. Beau Morris Rotary will also donate a portion of the money to the hospital. But they also support other charities locally and overseas. BASIS, a local community emergency support organisation.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Matt's Place. In Cheltenham, providing meals. Team sports for all, for the children, that all children should have an opportunity to play sport. And they've got youth programs. Beau Morris Secondary School has a mental health program, and they have youth leadership programs that they support, plus some overseas charities, the End Polio Worldwide, which I think a lot of them, Rotary clubs are involved
that's
with,
that's
and
rotary
it's pretty camp. Well eradicated polio.
Yes.
The Student Education and Health in the Sabu Island in Indonesia, and the Highland Foundation Maternity Outcomes in PNG. I think a lot of these are group charity organisations they support as well.
Yes, I think so. I think also Yimba Uganda is one other one they support.
Yes, the Computer Lab, I think it is.
Yes, I think so.
Yes.
Yeah, that's there also theirs as well.
Yes.
Yeah, Graham, it's been really interesting this to hear about this wonderful competition on this wonderful location too, because you couldn't do better than that, could you, the Royal Melbourne Golf Course?
No, a lot of credit must go to Royal Melbourne because they do provide the courses to us. Free of green fees. which is a big boost to our fundraising and enables the money to go to, well, the hospital and other worthwhile charities. So we're very grateful to Royal Melbourne.
Fantastic event, and maybe next year, well, I'll definitely sign up. Maybe next year I will get on the list and be able to, we can be able to talk about it, and we'll be able to talk about it next year after the event. From personal experience, I'm sure you'll be interested to hear about my golf game. Next year there probably will be the two courses open, do you think?
Or? We are not sure how the irrigation program is going to work out at Royal Melbourne.
Okay.
We have been warned that maybe it still will be going, and it may be just the east course next year. Okay. But we'll wait and see. But anyway, if you're on the database, then if you miss out next year, then both courses will be available in 2028.
All right, I'll look forward to that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ray.
It's been a pleasure.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're on 88.3 Southern FM.
Okay, for our first musical break or interlude, on this day in 2016, English artist Adele was named as Britain's richest ever female musician. A list of the top 20 music millionaires in the UK and Ireland placed the singer's £85 million fortune in 30th place on that list. Let's listen to her song, one of her songs, Set Fire to the Rain.
I let it fall. To stand in your arms.
You're listening to the Bayside Rotary Radio Show. This is part of the community block of Southern FM. You're with me, Jeff Dobbs.
And with me, Anne Cobham. And now we'd like to introduce Una Hobday, OIM, who is from the Rotary Action Group. She's the chair of the Rotary Action Group called Food Plant Solutions. So welcome to the program, Una.
Thank you very much. Great to have you.
So before we start talking about the Rotary's Food Plant Solutions Group, can you describe the world situation now for us regarding food security and food insecurity worldwide?
Absolutely. Worldwide, there are 700 plus million people are undernourished, with one in three children facing malnutrition. In Australia, there's 3.7 million households experienced food insecurity in the past year. And how does it affect them? Well, you can imagine. We also have a statistic that says every minute five children under five die of malnutrition. That's how it's experienced around the world and some in Australia.
The statistics are just sort of staggering, aren't they, really?
And something
that I perhaps wasn't aware of, really. So perhaps just tell us a little bit about the history of the Food Plant Solutions Group.
In 1970s, Bruce French, an agricultural scientist, went up and was working in New Guinea, and he realised that there are a lot of countries in the world that have really good food, unique food that grow in their countries, but they don't have the ability to grow them because we, in all our goodnesses, have helped them grow the plants that we suggest. And so he developed a database of nutritional plants for every country in the world and decided to do that. And now it's got approximately 36,000 plants in the database, and we don't use half of them. And they're all for a particular country. So then he came to the Southern Devonport North and offered them the database, but he wanted to rid the world of malnutrition. So that's where it started. In 2007, we became a Rotary Action Group.
So in 2011 or 2007, did you say that for the...
2007.
What do you actually do now? You've got the database, you develop resources for...
Yep. We develop science-based educational resources that are proved to achieve food and nutrition security. That, therefore, is obviously sustainability. Our source of information is from the database, and the database is the largest in the world. So we extract the information from the database and create educational resources for each of the countries that identify local food plants that are known to grow in the country region, selected because of their high nutritional value. We then pass it on to people who've requested it. So NGOs will write to us and say, we really need some information about our food. And the local food plants are important because they're adapted to their environment, have sound nutritional density, and a natural resistance to pests and disease, and are superior to imported foods and plants, because sovereignty of food is incredibly important. They need to be able to grow them without having to add lots more things to the soils.
And do you do these resources, produce these resources in various languages?
Yes, we do. Depending on the country, in Ethiopia we prepare them in Amharic as well, but we're translated to as many translations that are needed. Uganda has lots of needs, so we're translating them into over four or five at the moment, and we'll be translating them many more times.
Okay.
Una, it's Jeff Dobbs here. I'd like to ask you a question too. How do you develop resources? Are there also resources for Australian communities?
Yes, there are. If you go onto our website, you'll find some short plans for some of the areas that have been asked for. We actually prepare them when someone rings us and says we need it, or emails us when we need. But there's also a wonderful program there called Fresh Food for Families, which is a one-day workshop, a how-to for any club or any group to, with a community, develop a workshop so that they can know how to plant what's suitable for their area. And it even in the book tells you to go to Bunnings and buy some of the goods, and they'll give you lots very cheaply. It's a fantastic program that you all can do in your community or in your home.
So with the workshops, are they organised by you? Do you do it on Zoom, or is it people just do it together themselves?
No, you do it yourself. So if you wanted to do a workshop, you go online and download the book, then you'll ring us and we'll talk you through the whole program. You go off and get your things. We've even got all the sign-on sheets for you.
Oh, okay.
And everything you might need. And you can get your, we did it with an Ethiopian community, a Thai community, a school group, a community centre. So they're studying just groups of people, and it's such fun. The kids go home with plants planted in pots.
Oh.
And they meet you in the street afterwards and say, I've got some tomatoes, or I've got some potatoes, and they get so excited.
It sounds like a great initiative, and something that sounds quite easy to do if you've definitely got the instructions about just to go off to Bunnings and buy what you need.
Everything's there. Go online and see. It's brilliant.
I will. So just moving on just a little bit further about the group, I believe you're now partnering with World Vision and have signed an MOU with them. What will you be doing with them?
Yes, we have. We're really proud of that. We've been, Carolyn Hingston, who's our EO, who's just brilliant, she's been talking to World Vision for many years, and it looks like we're partnering with them, and we look with them to work with them in Ghana and some of the African countries they're working on. So we'll be probably developing the information for them. And they'll go with their groups that are already working there to do that. We don't go into country at all. Okay. And we made that purposely at the beginning because we don't want to be wise men from the East.
No.
We work with people who are already in country to develop these programs.
Which makes it then, as you say, sustainable, doesn't it, really, if you're dealing with people and not...
Teach a man to fish.
Yeah.
If you want to give a man a fish, they'll live for a week. If you teach a man to fish, it'll be learned for a lifetime. And that's the whole vision, really.
And with the MOU for World Vision, how long is that going to be how long are you going to be partnering with them, do you
think? That'll be ongoing.
Oh, okay.
That'll be an ongoing World Vision, yeah.
That's fantastic, isn't it? So that's great.
Yes, it is. It's fantastic.
And I think your group was recently asked to speak about the role practical nutrition.
World Food Program.
Yeah, hosted by the World Food Program. So what actually is the World Food Program?
The World Food Program consists of FAO, so the Food and Agricultural Organization in the US.
Yep.
IFAD, which is the International Fund for Agricultural Development, and especially UN Agency, which is the financial institution for it all. They were established in 1977 and they're dedicated to eradicating polio. So they raise the money. Not polio, sorry, food insecurity.
Yeah.
I'm thinking two things today. So that's the group, and Carolyn did a wonderful presentation to them just about the innovative work we do, and we'll be hoping, well, we know that the outcome is that there will be more pointing, people will be contacting us later to talk more about it.
So that's great. It's a great sort of forum for you, to have been part of.
Because then they're looking for innovative solutions. Everybody is now around the world. With hunger that's just increasing, and with all the wars as well, you know, that's not helping. So you can imagine if you're in Yemen or Somalia or Lebanon, you know, all of those gardens have gone. So how are they going to get food other than food drops to countries? And, of course, as we know, food drops are not necessarily being delivered often. No. So even in a small tent or a tent area, you might be able to get what I call bunny boxes, you know, those boxes on legs.
Yep.
And soil to them so they, as I do, I grow my vegetables as a single person in two Bunnings boxes, and that does me for summer and winter.
Wow. So it's...
So we could do... It's innovation that we're on about, and the right foods for the right place at the right time.
And that it's... I was going to say it sounds simple, but it's perhaps really... It's not simple, really, is it?
It's not
simple.
It's not simple at all. And that's why we've got to work with NGOs and people that are already in country, because they know how to look to the community. Because people do get used to having drops and therefore used to not doing for themselves.
Yeah.
And the better people can do for themselves, the better nutrition levels they'll have.
That's right. And I just wanted to ask, just go back a little bit about your group and how people can become involved in it. But I believe you're quite a small group, aren't you? You're only...
We're a very, very small group. We're the only Rotary Action group outside America. We are not funded by anybody. We're not funded officially by Rotary. We are an official group, but they don't fund us. And so when someone asks us a request from, say, Ghana, we'd like some education materials, we have to then go out and raise money. And that's the hardest thing to do, because people think we're funded, but we're not at all. So we then have to get together, and we've only got a small committee of 8 people, and we've got people in other countries around the world helping us, but not very many. And we're really wanting new members. New members can be ambassadors in countries to help us raise money to do more. We've got a waiting list at the moment of countries that want our services, but we can't do any more than what we've got.
No. So is it say if I was a non-Rotarian, can non-Rotarians be involved?
Absolutely, yes. Absolutely. We've got non-Rotarians on our board.
Oh, okay.
And we love people to come onto our board that non-Rotarians, because they bring extra skills as well.
Yes, that's yeah. Right. So you can, and you can, you could donate.
You can
too.
Register on the website. You can donate. You can volunteer, and a whole lot of options there for you. But we would love people who are interested in food and working towards ridding the world of malnutrition. We want you, all of you. And what we'd love most is a major sponsor. That's what we'd most love. And so that we could employ a marketing person and other people, so that we could get more done. Every time someone asks us, we'd love to be able to do it.
Yeah. It's a fascinating topic. Thank you for joining us today and talking about this. It is sort of in some ways a heartbreaking topic, really, when you talk about how many people are afflicted by food insecurity, and at least what you're doing is something, and it's fantastic. I applaud your group. You're doing a great job there.
Great work.
Thank you. I'd just like to finish with just to tell you the places that have got emergencies now: Afghanistan, Congo, Ethiopia, Haiti, Lebanon, all the areas in the Middle East complex, Mozambique, Myanmar, Nigeria, Palestine, Somalia, South Sudan, Ukraine and Yemen, but also and Australia. There are a lot of people who are insecure. And my last thought is, I talked to an 18-year-old who goes to university here. He pays his way at a university college and he's got to look after himself. And he said, look, when I'm hungry, I go to Coles. When I go to Coles, I know I should be buying apples or some fruit. But I know that for four apples, I've got to pay $4.20.
Wow.
But for a dozen donuts, I can buy them on special for $2.50. Oh. The donuts feed me now, but I know sometimes I'm buying donuts. That's what I'm saying. Kids in Australia are insecure.
Oh.
So, yeah, question mark.
Yeah. It's a very confronting story that you're telling, but thank you for telling it to us. And all the best.
Thank you.
So let's have another music break. Sadly, on this day in 2016, the American artist Prince died, aged 57. Let's listen to one of his songs, Little Red Corvette.
Listening to the Bayside Rotary Radio Show with me, Jeff Dobbs.
And me, Anne Cobham.
And now it's time to talk about Rotary Markets. Now, Rotary Markets are a very important way that we raise funds for all our projects, both here in our local communities and overseas. So I'm going to run through a few reminders because wherever you are on the Bay, there'll be a market near you sometime soon. So go to it. They're always great fun, lots of good food, interesting people, interesting products. And they raise money for very good causes. The first one coming up will be this Saturday, April the 25th, and Hampton Rotary Club have their farmers market at Traybit Reserve in Sandringham. And that's a very good market. Very interesting foodstuffs and drinks, and a very popular place to go. And it's also very nice and open. It's near the sea. You can take your dog, take your kids, and enjoy it. Also on Saturday, we have the Dramana, going a bit further south, Dramana Community Market. That's in Dramana Community Park, Port Nepean Road, Dramana. Then on Sunday, we have the famous Bentley Moorabbin Central Market. Now, Bentley Moorabbin Central Rotary Club, I should say. They had their Bentley Sunday Market in Bent Street, Bentley. A lot of bents there, aren't they? Opposite Coles, and every Sunday from 7 o'clock to 12 o'clock. This is, I think, a mixed market, and it's very, very, very popular. And you can't really get into that market and emerge without buying something. It's impossible. Then on Sunday the 26th again, we have the new Beaumaris Farmers Market. This is Sandringham Rotary's project. And it's at the Beaumaris North Primary School Oval. So that's the Farmers Market again. And then on the Saturday, May the 2nd, we're into May now, we have the Kingston Farmers Market, which is Chelsea Rotary Club. They raise their funds from that market. That's at Kingston Heath Reserve in Centre Road, Dandenong Road in Cheltenham. And that's a very popular market too. And we go further south now to the Rosebud Rye Rotary Club. They have their Rye Foreshore Market. Now, this hasn't been in operation for quite a while. I think this is just the second one they've got going this year. And that's opposite the Rye Hotel. So if you're down that way, going down to Sorrento or down to Portsea, and it's a pleasant day, well, often is it this time of the year, that's a great place to go to. Stop off and have a cup of coffee, buy some food, and support Rotary. Then on Sunday, May the 3rd, which is the day after, we have the Caulfield Food and Craft Market. Now, this is, I think, Anne, you went to this, didn't you?
I did. I went on over Easter, and it was a little bit smaller, though, I suspect, than what it usually is, but it was very, very good, very nice food there. I bought lots of jams and preserves and chocolate hazelnuts and other chocolate things. So I went a bit crazy, but it's a very nice market, I'll have to say. And it's very good for parking. That's always my big bugbear. You could just drive into the race course and park and literally you're there. It's fantastic.
That's really good, yes. Parking is a very important thing.
Mm.
I think most of these markets, actually, parking is probably pretty good because they're usually held in open spaces.
Open spaces, yeah, that's right, that's true.
Plenty of parking around, so that's good. And on Sunday, May the 3rd again, we have another interesting market, Mentone Heritage Railway Station Community Market. This is run by the, I always get this wrong, is it Mentone Mordialloc or Mordialloc Mentone Rotary Club? And that's not just food, I think it's also art and crafts as well.
Okay.
And a very interesting location, the old railway station there in Mentone. So these are all really good markets to go to enjoy. And, of course, you're supporting Rotary at the same time. And those funds go towards our projects overseas and in local communities as well. And the other thing I'd like to mention just very briefly, as a couple of events coming up, these are not really public events, but they're just things we do in the area of youth. One of the avenues of service of Rotary is youth. And we have a public speaking competition coming up very soon called Bay Speak. This is for secondary school students around the Bayside area. And it's run by three of our local Rotary clubs. And it's for students from years 9 to 12. And it goes from May the 5th to June the 2nd. About 12 schools take part in this. And there's very good prizes for the winners. It's a competition that runs for a series of rounds. And there's one grand competition at the end of it involving other Rotary areas as well. And that's a great opportunity for students to learn how to speak competently in public, how to prepare material and present themselves. And then we also have coming up very shortly the Model United Nations Assembly, which is a wonderful idea, which has students representing different countries. It's like the United Nations, in fact, on a miniature scale, you might say. And each team has to represent a country. And they have to study that country, they have to research it, and they have to answer or present in response to particular motions and resolutions that are put to them. So that's too, it gives them great debating skills and also public speaking skills and improves their knowledge of international affairs. So that really is something that's very, very good for our youth. And that's two of the major events that the Rotary do for youth, for young people in this community.
And they're very impressive, those the Basebeak students are amazing, how they actually get up and make this very cohesive argument, and they are just very incredible for young people, and they're only in their 16, 17, aren't they?
Well, younger than that. In fact, they're talking about year 9 and some cases.
Oh, okay.
Goes from we have two groups. We have a year 7 to 9, I think. Year 7 to 9, and then year 10 to 12.
Okay. So
they're quite young.
Yeah, yeah. I must have seen the older ones, I think.
You've always the older,
group, I think. But they're very impressive. Definitely they're great things that are run by Rotary and various Rotary clubs.
Yes, we always enjoy those events.
We do.
Now I think it's time to close the show, sadly.
Well, it is.
So that was the Bayside Rotary Radio Show for this month. Thank you for being with us and joining us. We hope you've enjoyed the program today. So it's goodbye from me, Jeff Dobbs.
And goodbye from me. And we look forward to you being with us again on Tuesday, the 19th of May, from 3 to 4, the third Tuesday of each month. Just as a reminder, Brighton North Rotary meets each Thursday for dinner at the Royal Brighton Yacht Club from 6 to 8 p.m. And just to sign off with some music, we're going back a bit on 21st of April 1990. Paul McCartney played in front of 184,000 fans in Rio de Janeiro, creating a new world record for the largest crowd attending a rock concert.